Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. How are we doing today? That sounded fairly persuasive even. That's not bad. Outstanding. Well, it's wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again to receive from him the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need, and to be able to just be in the presence of the God who loves us and saved us. And so as we are gathered here today, you know, we are heading into the end of the church year. You know, we think of this as like we're heading into Thanksgiving and then Christmas, right? But in the church year, we're heading into the end of the church year, because the beginning of the church year is actually Advent, where we start looking forward to the coming of Christ again. And as we come to the end of the church year, it's all about end time stuff. And we're talking about this, you know, what is going to happen when God comes again, when Jesus returns to take us to be with him. And so today we're going to be talking about being ready, being prepared for that day. And so as we gather, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together in your name. I thank you that amidst the hustle and bustle of normal life, we are invited by you to come and to pause, to slow things down and to rest with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would guide us in our thoughts this day, that we listen to your words of truth. Also, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Like never before, oh my soul, I worship. It is. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it is my privilege to share the first scripture reading with you all this morning. It's an uplifting one, so hang on. From the prophet Amos, the fifth chapter, verses 18 to 24. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll like a river, righteous like a never-failing stream. Thus concludes the first reading this morning.
Our sermon scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." At this time, I invite the children's forwards for a children's message.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Wonderful to hear a whole bunch of happy faces. All right, so tell me this. How do you guys get ready for school? Was that?
We get school supplies.
Yeah. You get school supplies. Oh, yeah. Well, you're good homeschool, so that's a little different. Those of you who actually go to school in the morning, how do you guys get ready for school?
Dressed.
You get dressed. Do you wake up first?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get dressed. Then what?
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. Do your hair. Okay, then what?
Then go to school.
Do you eat something first?
And then eat breakfast.
No, you don't eat any breakfast? I don't believe you. You're way too cheerful and chipper when you get to school. So, because I know where she goes to school. Anyway, so the thing is there a lot? Wait, here's my question. Do you have to start preparing for school even the day before? Like here, who here has homework? Ah. Do you do your homework in the morning when you're getting ready for school?
No.
Does that work for you very well? No. So the getting ready for school is kind of a bigger deal than just getting up and going to school, right? Because by the time you get there, you have to be ready, right? Because when you get to school, you have to turn in all your assignments. And if you don't have your assignments ready, your teacher will probably not smile at you, right? That probably is not the response you're going to get. So being ready is a really big deal. Well, here's the next question I have for you is, how do we be ready for Jesus to come again? Because is he going to come again someday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he comes, big stuff's going to happen. It's going to be like, people are like, I think there's some people who are afraid they're going to miss it. You know, they won't be looking or they're going to be sleeping or something like that. But the Bible tells us it's going to be kind of a big deal and we're probably not going to miss it. It's going to be big, all right? But when he comes back, all the people who have faith in Jesus, all the people who are part of his church, are going to be taken up to heaven, right? So the question is, How are you going to be ready for the big day? Any ideas? No, you don't know when it's going to come. You got to be ready all the time, right? Because nobody knows when it's coming. Jesus actually said that. He says, nobody knows. Only the Father knows. Jesus even said when he was on earth, I don't even know. He says, only the Father knows. So if somebody comes to you one day and says, I know when the end time is, guess what you can say? No, you don't. That's the one thing you for sure can say is that you don't know because nobody knows. So the thing is, we should be ready all the time, but the question is, how are we ready? How do you know you're ready? Anybody know?
Believing in Jesus.
You think that might do it? Yeah. What did he say?
Believe in Jesus.
Believe in Jesus. Yeah. Here's the thing. What is it that makes it so that we can go to heaven? Well, Jesus dying on the cross, right? And how do we know that that's for us is because Jesus or the Holy Spirit gives us faith and we believe in what Jesus did for us. And if we believe in Jesus, knowing that he died on the cross for us and takes away our sin, are we ready to go to heaven?
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah.
That's it. So the big deal is this. If you have faith in Jesus, are we ready for Jesus to come back?
Yeah.
We are. Is that really amazing news?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it really is. Should we pray?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for dying on the cross so we can be forgiven. Thank you for giving us faith in you. Lord, thank you for making us ready. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, it is now time for a little worship. You guys can head to the cross in the center aisle. It looks like, is that Katie Norris? Yep, that's Katie Norris. And they will be coming back after the service, after the sermon time. The rest of you, let us open God's word today. Now, the first reading today, I love it because it is a very big downer. Did you notice that? Yeah. It was not part of the original pericope. I picked that one. And I picked that one for a really important reason, because we need to talk about being ready. And being ready is kind of a big deal. And there's a lot of information in there about being ready. Now, the whole story begins with the ladies who are, these maidens who are basically standing up in a wedding. And the wedding service was radically different back then. And exactly how it went, if anybody says they know, it's sort of like in the last day. We don't really know exactly how the wedding services went back then. There's a lot that we don't remember from history. But the one thing that I can tell you is that these ladies had a job to do, and their job was to be ready. And they planned to be ready. All of them planned to be ready. All of them came with their lamps and they came with their oil, but some of them were ready even if there was a delay and others were not. And so the time came and some of them had oil and some of them didn't. And the oil seemed like it was a pretty big deal because the ones who didn't have oil didn't go in and the ones who had oil went in. And when the other ones came back later, they found that the door was closed. Now, this parable, it's one of those wonderful things about parables, is now that we know the story, we can go back and look at it and say, okay, what stands for what, right? So the bridegroom, who's that? Jesus, right? And when the bridegroom comes, that's, what is that representing? The last day, right? How do we know that that's the last day? Because I've heard this text actually interpreted as like, you know, when Jesus knocks on your heart, are you willing to let him in? But the reason that we know that that's not the interpretation is because if you look at all the texts around this, it's all end time stuff. You know what I mean? The next text is going to be, I think it's the next text for next Sunday is going to be the talents, you know, that you're given, the master gave you know, different amounts of money to different workers and that they were supposed to invest it and all that, which is another end times thing. When God comes back and judges, what's he going to find? So this is a very end timesy thing. And the question is, are you going to be ready when Jesus comes? So the maidens is who? Us. Very good. So Jesus is the bridegroom. The ladies are us. And the, another big question is, what's the oil? And now that's the real key question in this text, right? Because this, if the oil could be a lot of different things. And some people want to say that the oil is having your life together, right? I mean, that you need to have your stuff together because, you know, when Jesus comes back, he's going to judge. And if you don't have your stuff together, you're going to be found unworthy, correct? So the thing is this, what if we are very religious? What if we make sure we come to church, make sure we do the worship stuff, make sure that we sing the songs, make sure that we hear the words, make sure that we keep the festivals, you know, the super celebrations like Christmas and Easter and those kinds of things? What if we go through all those motions? Are we going to be ready? Let's look at that really grim text, right? Because here's the thing, this text is this text written to people who are ready? No. This text is written to the children of Israel when they're going a very bad direction. And Amos has the wonderful job of preaching to the children of Israel and telling them that they're not living up to God's standard. They're not living the way God wants them to live and that they need to make some really big changes. But the weird thing about it, though, is that they are doing the religious things, right? He says, you're not ready, and it's going to be really scary. The end of the last day is going to be quite grim for you as it is right now. But in verse 21, look, it says, I despise your religious festivals. So are they holding religious festivals? But are they what God's looking for? Your assemblies are a stench to me. So when you get together to do worship and stuff, not only is it not pleasing to me, I mean, think of the stench, right? What's the nastiest thing you've ever smelled? And that's what it's like for God, that he's like going, this reeks. This is not what I am looking for. Because the other times in the Old Testament, they talk about the worship of God's people is like incense to God, that sweet aroma to God. But something about these people is that there's a stench. This is not very good. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. Guys, listen. Is being religious enough? Going through the motions, having your life together, being one of the good people, is it going to get you there? So is the oil living a good life? No. Amos is rather clear on this. I mean, brutally clear on this. So what is the oil? What is it that God is looking for? I mean, if working really hard and living a good life isn't enough, then what is it? Well, if you've been paying attention to the children's message, it'd be a pretty easy answer, right? What God's looking for is faith. Now, faith is a rather interesting thing if you've really ever stopped and looked at it, right? Because there's several different parts of faith that are really important to discuss. I mean, one part of faith is some sort of fact, right? Like, I have faith that my car will start, okay? Now, I drive old cars, you know. the only reason I have faith that they'll start is because it started last time, right? Could it not start this time? True. So here's the thing. I have confidence in a fact, but how strong is my confidence? Let's put it this way. If my car did not start, it would not shake my understanding of the world. I mean, it's not like it would be the first time or the second. All right? I mean, that's a thing that has happened before. And so we have both the fact that we believe and the confidence that we have in that fact, right? And so though both sides of faith are really important to understand here. And so when we talk about this faith in Jesus that prepares us for his second coming, that makes it so that I know that I will be saved, what is it that I am supposed to believe? What is the fact? What is the thing that is important? What's that? What about him? Yes. And all of those words are really important, right? That Jesus lived, that he was born, that it was the plan of God that his son be brought into the world, that God, man, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, came into this world, lived a perfect life for us, and then on the cross exchanged his perfect life for your mess so that he could die guilty of your sin. And that the guilt of your sin is 100% paid for because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that we can have confidence and understand exactly what this incredible message of salvation is because the Spirit has given us faith so that we can have confidence in this incredible Savior that we have. And this is faith. This is what we mean when we say faith. Now, in the world today, people say, I have faith. And I would say, absolutely, I am certain. Absolutely, everybody believes in something. But is it faith that'll save? You know? I mean, I can have faith in my own goodness. I can have faith in the government. I can have faith in the military. I can have faith in a whole bunch of things. I can have faith in my car. And quite frankly, it's probably as certain as any of those other things. Right? I mean, the thing is that when we have faith, you're trusting in something, but is it the something that is going to make us ready for when Jesus comes again? And the answer is no. There is only one way. There's only one way. The fact is that we needed this salvation because we were in such a bad place that there was no other way. There was no way. Before Jesus came, without God's plan, we were lost. We could not be saved. What was demanded of us is that we be perfect, and we were not perfect. And there is nothing more that can be said than that. Once you are not perfect, is there any way to become perfect again? I mean, I fix things a lot. They're never perfect again. You know, it just can't be done. Once something is flawed and broken, you can glue it together, but there's always cracks. There's always a weld. There's always something that shows that it was not perfect and that it is no longer perfect. And so Jesus is the only way. So the question is, are we ready? Being ready is complex. One of the things I was in I love it, is that it was Veterans Day yesterday, and it made me start thinking as I sat in line at White Castle to get my free combo. I live large, let me tell you, it's the way it goes. Anyway, but I had such plans to hit a whole bunch of places, and then instead I fixed a car and went to White Castle and got a free combo. But the thing I learned a lot about being ready in the military because I was in the reserves. And the thing about being in the reserves is that the call can come anytime. You don't know when it's going to come, you know, and you have to be ready. Now, I was in the reserves for 9 years, and I'm an ADD guy. So how hard is it to stay ready for 9 years? Hard, let me tell you. I mean, the thing is that think about all the pieces and parts of being called up to the reserves. I mean, I have to have my uniforms and my military stuff ready all the time. You know, we had our go bag, and it was like everything that I wasn't using. But I also had to do, like, drills, so some of the stuff couldn't be in the bag. But everything had to be in the bag, and the rest of the stuff had to be organized, clean, and ready so that if I was called up, I could shove it in the bag and go. And being another ADHD guy, again, back to that whole thing, lists are hard, even if you give me one, all right? Remembering everything is really, really a challenge. And so the thing is that that bag needs to be packed and pre-prepared because if I was called up, am I going to be a little stressed? And it's going to be really, really easy to forget something important. I have been to basic our annual training and showed up and realized I forgot my boots. These things happen. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want that to happen if I'm going to be going up to on active duty. And so I have to be ready. But just that's just one little piece of being ready. There was also all the paperwork. You had to have your insurance ready, you know, life insurance and all that kind of stuff. You had to have your will. You had to have your power of attorney. You have to have some plan to get your bills paid while you're gone. You got to have, there's a ton of stuff that has to be done. And then there was a while I was in the Army. I had two kids by the time I got out of the reserves. So, I mean, we had to have plans for the family. Because I was a seminary student, and so if I would, like, get called up, would my kid, my family living in seminary housing not be able to stay there anymore? I mean, we had a lot of stuff to think about, right? And so being ready means a lot. And the thing is that I think being ready for ourselves in Jesus is that we are in faith. It is really, really simple. But being ready also means that we are actually doing this stuff to help other people be ready. You understand how this goes? Because here's the thing is to say, are you ready for Jesus to come back? And the answer is on one level, absolutely. I have faith in Christ, right? I am ready. But does that take any urgency away from preparing for Jesus to come again? So what do we need to be doing? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Look around, you know? I mean, hopefully the people in here were okay, right? But even the people in here, we all need to check, right? And my car occasionally leaks oil. You know what I'm saying? And it's an old car, so I never know when it's going to start leaking oil. And so I have a very good habit of every time I get gas, guess what I do? You know what? It's the only way I can be sure I'm not going to run out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a constant habit in my life because I drive old cars, and that's going to happen at some point. Thing is this. Are you checking your oil? And by that, I mean, are we maintaining our faith? And it's important to do this. This is like when God comes and gives you faith, and you say, well, that's amazing. I have faith now. And does that mean that you're going to have that forever? That it doesn't take any maintenance or work that we don't have to have any disciplines to maintain that faith? The answer is the question is, why do we come to church every week? I mean, once we're saved, aren't we done? Well, the thing is that this world wears at our faith, you know, tears us up. This world is hard on us. And without constant feeding, our faith can wither and die just like anything else that's not fed. And so the question isn't just a matter of do you have faith right now, but will you have faith when Jesus comes? Because could there be a delay? And what are you going to do about that? Because the thing is it easy to slide? I mean, again, ADHD boy, discipline city, right? Yeah, all about it, right? You know, the only thing that keeps me on track is routines. I know exactly what I'm going to do when I get up in the morning because if I don't do it in the right order, I will come without combing my hair or shaving. You know what I'm saying? Because if once I'm out of my routine, things get really ugly, right? I got to do things just that way. Well, the question is, what are the ways that we maintain our faith? Well, are there some routines? Yeah, call them spiritual disciplines. Like, you come to church. You take communion. You listen to the message. You read Scripture. You pray. You stay focused on what God is calling us to do, and you make your life fit around Him and His purpose for you. And the spiritual disciplines, do those save you? No, are those good deeds that are going to somehow get you into heaven? But do they keep you attached to the one who can, the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who gives you faith, the one who nourishes that faith? And then the other thing is this, is to prepare for that last day. You know, in one sense, you can say, yes, I am ready. The other sense is that, are the people around me ready? And what can I do to help them get ready? Am I speaking God's truth? Am I speaking this gospel? Am I speaking the grace of God? Am I as urgently concerned for them to be prepared on that last day as I'm worried about myself? Because the last day is coming, and we don't know when. Procrastination is easy, but it's not good and it's not right. Urgency is what God says. Urgently share the message. Urgently love others so that they can be prepared too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, we thank you that you have prepared for us a method of salvation, Lord, and that you have prepared our hearts by giving us faith in the work of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give us confidence and peace in knowing that we are prepared for that day based upon our faith and what you've done for us. But Lord, I pray that you would also at the same time give us urgency to share this message so that more people can be prepared. Thank you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Back again, let the lost be found and the dead be raised. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
I invite you to stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of Luther's explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me against all evil. All this He does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. At this time, we have a video thanking our veterans in honor. I invite you to stand for the prayers of the day. Righteous God, I thank You for all those who have served in our military, defending our borders and protecting our country. All those who are currently serving, I pray for Your protection over them. And I thank You for guarding safe those who have fought the good fight through various wars and various skirmishes. I thank You as well for those who have given their lives in service. God, we also recognize that You despise corruption and command justice. And so we pray that You would embolden our rulers and all in authority to enact and defend measures that preserve peace and provide justice for all. Guide them to set aside personal ambition and help them to take seriously the office that You have called them to serve in. God of our salvation, we know neither the day nor the hour of Christ's return, but we know that He has died and risen again to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Until that day, preserve us in faith and guard us from temptation. Guard and protect the hearts and minds of all Your children, that we would never fall away from You, but that we would be properly armed against the attacks of the evil one. Do not let us be caught unprepared for His coming. Let us live our days in loving service and joyful expectation of the life of the world to come. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, and we pray as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Just as I am.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.
Wait upon the Lord. You are the
All right, please be seated. At this time, if there are children who are interested in going to Sunday school, I invite you to go to the back where adults are going to take them over to the gym for some fellowship time there until Sunday school begins at 11. But otherwise, we have an adult Bible study that I'm leading that'll be meeting in the gym starting at 11, and Denise Kasten is still leading her ladies' study featuring significant women in the Bible in, am I remembering correctly, room 105? 104, thank you. All right, so just a reminder of those education offerings as well. At this time, I'd like to invite, before I have a couple other announcements, our president of our board, Steve Kasten, to come up. He has some things he'd like to say.
I brought my cute graphic with me today. All right. So as many of you know, we've had a capital campaign for about the last 12 months. This building was built 20 years ago, and as of last year, we still owed $583,000 or so on the building. To give you an idea, what that represents is every year we spend about $96,000 on debt service. So it's a lot of money in our budget that we have to incur every year. So we came up with the idea of imagining the possibilities of what we could do if we reduced our debt. So we, in the last 12 months, the congregation has stepped up and provided over $210,000 to buy down that debt. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's really great. So we're at about 80% of what we needed. We're down to where it's about $53,000 in additional contributions, and we can pay off our debt. And we've got 2 months left in the campaign to do that. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that. We sent out an email last week as well. And, you know, please pray about our ministry. Pray about God leading you to give additional funds for our building reduction. And when we pay it off, I think Lauren will have a party for us. And we can do that. So I thank you for the time, and look forward to Bible study today. Thank you.
All right. The full list of announcements are in the back of your bulletin, but a couple more I'd like to emphasize. One, tomorrow night is dying to donate at the Culver's. That's, you know, just down the road over there from 5 to 8 p.m. And some of the proceeds of everything that's ordered that night is going to go to support St. Mark's Lutheran School. And so I encourage you all to consider eating there tomorrow night. Should be a good time. The next Sunday, we have a voters meeting, and so that'll be right at 11 following our service in place of other education. So there won't be any Sunday school that day or adult Bible classes that day. And then we have a need for volunteers this Saturday, November 18th at 1 p.m. There's a Thanksgiving luncheon over at Hilltop Manor. If I remember correctly, that's right behind us, down the hill, getting my orientation off. Okay, so really close by. There's a need. There's again, they're going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon, and so there's a need. And so if you are interested in signing up for that, go ahead and you can touch base with Joni right there. She's waving her hand. Thank you. I won't even try to pronounce her last name. But yes, so contact her. And then the last thing that I'm going to highlight today is the deadline for Operation Christmas Child. Again, the little shoeboxes that you fill up to support kids around the world. Now, if you forgot it today, I have good news for you. You can bring it tomorrow. That is the last time that they will be accepting it before they drop them off. And so please, you know, or later today or whatever, but basically bring it in no later than tomorrow. There you go. Otherwise, thanks for joining us in worship today, and I pray that God would bless your week. I forgot something else. Sorry. One last thing.
Let's try this again. Thank you. Don't leave. I'm here to tell you about Operation Barnabas, our military ministry. I've been here so long that I know all those faces of those military guys that we show, and it always brings tears to my eyes. Thank you from Operation Barnabas and my family. We're grateful to each and every one of you. Quickly, I just want to say I have an ambassador here that I need to mention, and that's Lynn Shagg. She actually gave me 18 cards to send for Veterans Day from Operation Barnabas with a personal inscription and prayer in those. So thank you, Lynn. We love you. Secondly, last year we sent gift cards to all of our Barnabas members with their Christmas cards. This year we're in hopes of sending them, and this has been a goal for a while. I've done a lot of research, a Bible, a pocket Bible, like the one I showed you that my dad had, a zippered one, and we can do that with shipping for $25. So that brings me to my last thing, and that is, and if we have any extra money, I will be talking to Chaplain Mueller at the Synod, who's our Barnabas leader, about getting those two other chaplains around the world who are in desperate need of Bibles. So finally, you know, I'm not too proud to beg. I know that was the name of a song in the 60s. But I'm begging for our military, and we'll be collecting today when you leave. So my special collection officer, Gavin Richardson, has a soccer game today, so he's not in uniform, and he will not be asking for money. Last year, we had our most successful contribution, and I think it was because of Gavin. So don't let that deter you. His dad dressed up today for us, dressed out, and that's Phil, and he will be at the door over here collecting, and I will be at that door. So dig deep. It's for the soldiers. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much.